Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Doc. Can you hear me? Hey, doctor, can you hear me? Hello? 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 Okay, Pastor, can you hear me? Because if you can, I have posted a, you know, I do my blogs, and I posted two blogs, and one I posted today concerning the COVID numbers here in the United States and how it is taking people out and, you know, how we as people must do better in protecting ourselves and getting ourselves situated to deal with the virus and these new variants that are coming out, the Delta and the Mu, the MU. So it is time for us to stop looking for other people to take care of us and do our part also.
Can you hear me, Brother Tony?
I can hear you now, darling.
Okay. Wow. Well, I
now Pastor says he can hear us just talk.
Oh, okay. You know, it's funny how the people who need protection from COVID the most are the ones who are getting the least attention in some quarters. You know, my niece-in-law lost a sister about 3 weeks ago to COVID, and that was as close as my family has been to it. And it's really unfortunate that with everything else that we all struggle with, that this is something that we can actually be active in fighting, and it just doesn't seem to be happening. I mean, I wear a mask every time I go out. When I go into a store, I come out, I'm using hand sanitizer and things like that because I'm an elderly caregiver. But I see so many people walking around with no masks on, and I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, that is, unfortunately, that false sense of security, because, you know, for a minute there, the numbers were kind of posting down and people were buying into doing what they supposed to. Then all of a sudden, you had all these folks in Florida and Texas, Mississippi, Arkansas, who was with this, you know, my body, my right. I don't have to get vaccinated. I don't have to wear a mask. I don't have to sanitize. And these rates have been kicking back up. And it is absolutely crazy. And it is nuts. And the bad part about that is it's doing more harm than good. And young people are really catching the brunt of this.
Yes, they are. And I was hoping that they would develop a vaccine for kids under 12, but so far that hasn't happened. And that's unfortunate because, according to news reports, there are over a quarter of a million kids who now have COVID. So I don't know how it is that we're going to get a handle on it. I understand people are having this kind of fatigue from dealing with it, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. And now we've got two variants instead of one to deal with. So I don't know what they're expecting to happen unless they fight it on all fronts. So I'm hoping that Rev has a chance to chime in and make a comment about where we're at dealing with this.
Right. So, Starlene, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I can't hear you.
Unfortunately, you know, now, the cutoff age is 12, but
right.
Pfizer, Moderna, they're all getting together to work on a vaccine for the younger group. So hopefully they'll be making some progress with that shortly. But for right now, the best that as adults we can do is to sanitize, is to get those shots, is to wash and clean, and to keep those children out of situations where they're being put at risk. If that means we have to shut down some of these school districts, that is what we should do. Certain places, I understand why they were in a rush to go back. You know, they wanted to get the money that the federal government gives for children being in school. I understand that. But why put your children at risk for money that you can recoup down the line?
Right.
This is absolutely bonkers.
And I understand for the children who have been out. I know some children who've been out for at least a year from their classmates, from their physical school, and they're anxious to go back. But I don't know if the schools are going to be able to stay open. I think that it's going to get to a point where they're going to have to shut down again, those that have reopened. And I just don't know how sustainable it's going to be for them to remain open. I mean, you've got teachers who are quitting because, you know, parents are sending their kids to school, telling them they don't have to wear a mask, you know, and all this. And really, this shouldn't be a political point for people. This is science. And
it is science.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they're making it political. In Florida alone, you had 15 people in one school district die from COVID. And I'm talking about teachers. And that is sad. And in Tampa Bay, they had, and I said this the other night, they had 8,000 children sent home with COVID in the entire district. That is crazy.
That just
at what point do you say you care more about your children than them politicians? Come on now.
Well,
we must do the right thing, and the right thing is to take care of the people you say you care and love.
Exactly. So I'm wondering, what is it going to take? Are we going to have federal mandates to do this? Because all these different states going about it, you know, in all these different ways. And heaven forbid, you know, you live in the so-called Bible Belt and you got these anti-vaxxers who, you know, it's just frightening. I can't wrap my head around it. I really can't.
It's scary. And the president, he stepped forward and he said today that he was going to come up with a mandate for the unvaccinated. And a lot of Republicans and conservatives and some liberals were upset, saying, well, he's trying to force people to be vaccinated and do what he wanted to do. It's not even about that. You know, we always joke about the zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think this will be and is becoming? And Pastor,
exactly.
I see you got that look on your face. What you think, man? I mean,
you know
as a man of God, you stand in the pulpit every Sunday. I know you have a thought on this, on how, in what direction we ought to be heading in where this pandemic is concerned and how it affects people and basically the way that the country is going.
Exactly.
I mean, it's wild.
It is. It really is.
And
it's not over.
You know, and not to shift gears, but that's like Larry Elder, who is running for governor of California, but has said the minute he gets in, should he get in, he's doing away with mass mandates and he's doing away with any protection for COVID. We're just going to go back to being who we are and, you know, herd mentality and let, you know, science figure it out.
You know, Larry Elder, I remember him from way back as a so-called conservative pundit. And he is nothing more than, you know, the Clarence Thomas of the airways. I mean, he's nothing but a puppet for the conservative right. And I don't know how much money they're paying him to do this, but I am crossing my fingers and really hoping that this recall fails. I'm hoping that everybody who's listening will vote no on this recall and not do anything else with their ballot. But I just don't get it. Is it always about the money? You know, I look at people like Elder, people like, what is that dude's name? Armstrong Williams. All these people, Candace Owens. I'm like, what are you getting out of this except a pat on the head from these conservative white people? I don't get it. I just don't get it.
And truly, that's all it is. Even with, you know, our COVID, okay, the first thing out of Larry Elder's mouth was, I'm going to open up Southern California again. I'm going to bring
back because, you know, we are losing so much. And the thing is, you know for a fact that his backers are nothing more.
Nothing more than rich white Americans trying to get paid.
That's true. That is true. So if we want to have a healthy, forward-thinking country, we're going to have to double down and work at it. We're going to have to get people out to vote. And I know that a lot of millennials are stepping up, you know, letting their voices be heard, and I hope they do that consistently. You know, I hope it turns into a thing where they just automatically vote for the right thing, because I tell you, if not, the political hands are going to get turned back on this country 50, 60 years if we let the conservatives take it over. And California is the first block that they're trying to knock off right now with this recall.
Exactly. One of the things, and I don't know if you've been following this, but I've been staying on top of this because, you know, I got a message the other day. My ballot was counted. It's already in. But I was watching the other day where Larry Elder and his people go to this homeless area and someone throws an egg at him. Now, because this woman was white and had on a gorilla mask, now they're trying to go after her for a hate crime, okay?
Oh, my.
Saying that she did this with malice in her heart, and she wanted to depict him as some kind of gorilla. But the thing about it was, these were people that were pissed off by the fact that he actually brought these rich yuppie-type people down into their encampment to basically point fingers and say, see what Newsom did? Exactly. And they had all met in a parking lot at Gold's Gym, and then they went over to where these people were.
Wow. Well, nobody wants to be treated like an exhibit in a zoo. So.
Exactly. And then what he did was he makes this statement about, well, there's a double standard here. If I was liberal, if I was on MSNBC, this would get covered, and they'd talk about the history of black versus white and how they treat us like animals, and I'd get all this coverage. But because I'm a conservative, they're against me. But he claims he doesn't play the race card. Well, that was exactly what he was doing.
That's exactly
playing
what he was
the race
doing.
Card.
Well, he can't have it both ways. Neither him nor any of the other black conservatives. And so I don't know this game that they play, thinking that they're getting over, but it's not working. And people are a lot more savvy than he wants to give them credit for. They're not covering him because he's non-news. He's fake. That's why he's not getting any traction, and he should just accept that.
And getting back to what Pastor Harris posted about COVID, I noticed that here in the Valley, we were doing pretty well. And then we kind of got off balance a little bit. But so far, we're balancing between being semi-normal and being purple again. The Bay Area is kind of holding their own. But Southern California, again, is really the hot spot, the Los Angeles area, the Long Beach area, San Diego, most of our beach areas. And is that because of the weather and those being popular places to be this time of year? Or being in the Orange County area, I know you got a lot of conservatives who mindset is, I'm going to do what I want to do.
You know, and it's unfortunate that I want to say ignorance, but their stubborn ignorance of the science is putting everybody else in danger. I remember, when I was a kid, and preschoolers even now have to go through this, you have to get your mumps, your measles, your MMR shots before they allow you in school for the safety of everybody else. And so I don't know why it is so hard for people to understand and accept that they need to get these shots. They need to get these shots.
Exactly. You think about the list of shots you had to get in order to attend school. Measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, all of them, whooping cough, all those things.
I even remember in the early 60s, being a kindergartner, first grade in San Francisco, and they were still vaccinating people for polio. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. I remember those days.
Oh, yeah. And thank goodness. I mean, look how many people in the 40s and 50s were in iron lungs because of polio and the health trauma that those people had to go through. I mean, why is it that Americans are so stubborn about the wrong thing? Wouldn't it be wonderful if they could be stubborn and steadfast fighting poverty or racism or something like that, important things like that, instead of these non-issues that are really for the good of everybody?
That's too much like right. See, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's funny you said you brought up polio, because I remember being at Carver, and I remember taking that sugar cube.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
that.
Mm-hmm.
See,
fifth grade. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I was at Farragut in San Francisco during that time when I took mine, but I remember lining up. I remember, you know, the whole deal, and I'm like, what is the problem? I mean, this is for the good, and polio has been eradicated because of those kind of efforts. And so we're not going to be able to get a handle on this. And it's funny you talked about the zombie apocalypse, because that's basically where we are. People don't understand that we are heading for a perfect storm of the end days. You've got this variant. You've got climate change. You've got all these other things that are happening. What do people think is going to happen if we have, you know, a cluster of all these things bearing down on us and we do nothing? We're going to get wiped out.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Pastor.
Can Alain hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, so tonight I'm being censored again, I guess, because of the topic of the show. So the folks on Facebook Live can hear me. So I did something like an invite or something on the Facebook Live with Brother Tony. So I can hear you guys, but you guys can't hear me on the screen. So
right.
Yeah, this is nothing new. It happens to me all the time. So it is what it is. But listen, I'm glad you guys are on the show tonight. I really appreciate you taking your time out. It's been a long week for me. My days start like 4 o'clock in the morning. Don't end like at 10 at night, driving school bus and different things. And so, you know, we're just glad to make it to Friday. Glad to make it to Friday. Also, we want to give condolences to Pastor Solomon's family, friends, and loved ones. He passed away yesterday. The other day, from my understanding, he had COVID-19. And so the topic of the show tonight was COVID-19, the invisible killer. Who is next? And I thought that was a very appealing topic for tonight's show. If we remember, I believe Bishop Bernard Hall, one of our local bishops, has passed away with COVID a couple of months ago. And so it's invisible. I mean, this is something that you know, I believe we have a lot of people that's asymptomatic, that's walking around, that's really contaminated and don't know it. And, you know, some people say wearing a mask is we're killing ourselves. Again, you know, some people feel that the COVID is not real. Whatever title you want to put on it, all I can tell you is there's something going on. And, you know, for the life of me, I'm not understanding why our children are in school right now. I believe that this COVID thing may be put into the food as well, or some type of generic. A genocide into the food, because it to have the numbers to go up this high, and it's like these politicians don't even care. I mean, there was a politician, I believe in New Jersey or New York, who said he was going to send a letter to the transportation director and ask him to waive all the tests to drive school bus. To drive a school bus is a lot of responsibility. But he said he wanted to waive all the tests and just have people come in and drive buses so that our children can get to school. I'm not saying that their education is not important. What I'm saying is their life is important. And I feel that we're sending our children inside of a burning house. I feel that the system is really trying to eliminate our babies because they are the future. And once you get the COVID in your lungs, you're not going to ever be the same again. I don't care who you are. It's just a matter of time before death comes. A lot of people who die with COVID die alone. No one is there. People looking through the windows, you know, people looking through the screens, you know, people putting their hands up on the window like that because, you know, you can't come in contact. People are dying alone, you know. I mean, this is a very, very, this is the one time in my life. And you all know I've been up against a lot of powerful people, chief of police, Dyer, mayors, city guys, recall people, governors, senators, people. But this is the first time in my life that I'm really, really concerned about the endurance of our people, And this thing is invisible. You cannot see it, but you can feel it once you get contaminated with it. So, you know, yeah. I really don't know where we're going right now. I'm seeing people that I know, people that I have shook in their hands, I gave them a hug, and they're 6 feet underground. I'm not understanding what's and who's next?
Right.
But
that's just it. You look at COVID, and
COVID is just like
blood pressure, cancer. You cannot see it.
And once it's in your system, it's doing major damage. And like you said, COVID, even though they have these vaccines, you know, what recovery rate? No one really knows. How is it affecting people? No one really knows. I think it's absolutely crazy that we open schools that don't put these children at risk. I think it's crazy that we open whole businesses back up and put people back at risk. But again, it comes down to those who are old enough to know better and make a decision to do the right thing. Get clean. Keep yourself clean. Stay mad. Cover up. Social distancing. 6 feet. 10 feet. But yet, you have this group out there. My body, my choice. I've got to do what I want.
Well, I think Biden is going to, as we were talking about earlier, do a federal mandate about masking and social distancing and all of that because people are just being too irresponsible about this entire thing. And I think that things are going to get worse before they get better because COVID has mutated into two different variants now. And so we're not back where we were, where it was as bad, but things have not improved to the point where we should be sending the kids, I don't know, just willy-nilly back to school. I don't know. I have nieces and nephews who are in school right now, but I just don't know, you know. I really don't.
Well, you know, one of the things I've been looking at, thinking about today is, you know, when you're dead, you're dead, right? I mean, there's no coming back. But I'm trying to figure out, you know, Los Angeles School District has voted, I believe, unanimously to mandate everyone who comes to school to get the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And those who do not want to go to school, and I believe they have to stay at home.
Okay.
But at the same time, you know, I'm trying to figure out, is it safer to be at school or is it safer to be at home until we can figure this thing out? I mean, there's tons of children, and we need, and here's the other thing. I'm going to find out when their next school board meeting. And I don't know if they're doing it Zoom or in person. But we need to find out as a community how many of the classrooms has been shut down. We need to know how many children have went home. We need to know what they have in place, quote unquote, the protocol on if a classroom do become contaminated, how is the classroom being cleaned, who's cleaning it, and what chemicals are they using to clean it with, okay? Are these children going home just to say, well, you know, they wait 14 days, show no symptoms, you send them back? Do they have to get tested? Is the school district testing these young? See, there's a lot of questions here that we're, you know, I don't really think we're really looking at it in the right lens right now. And if, you know, a certain percentage of kids are going home and affected with COVID, what does that mean? You know?
Right.
Because we know the teachers are still going to get paid, right? We know the superintendent is still going to get paid, right? They're the ones putting our children in harm's way, okay? They're not the ones that's going to be burying our children. We're going to be burying our children, right? While they ride off in the wild blue yonder, okay? So
I have a sister who works in the school district here. And she works in the weather.
I can't hear you, Brother Tony. I'm getting some echo.
I can tell you her classrooms, they are socially distant. They do have barriers.
They have a certain amount of children in there, and I don't think there are over 12 people in her classroom.
Wow.
So, it's, you know,
there's so many unanswered questions. That's a small group. 12 people is, that's a small group, but
that's very small.
There's so many questions that we still don't know, even about those of us who have been vaccinated. Are we going to need a booster shot?
Exactly.
Can you mix the different shots and have it still be effective? I mean, there's so many things that we just don't know. And until that gets figured out, I really wish they would just shut the schools down and have the kids do remote learning. But I know parents are tired of that. Some parents can't do it. You know, they don't have the technology, or, you know, they work and they can't be there with the kids every day. So it's a domino effect.
It's a domino effect, and it has definitely opened up a brand new way of the way we approach things as far as kids and children in school go. And I understand the fact that we can't keep them out forever. I understand that also. But it's got to be a way to do this safely. I mean, putting these kids in virtual classrooms and maybe having them come somewhere where they can put a bus out there that are some that sends out a Wi-Fi signal, and the kids are, say, like an amphitheater, and they're all spread out. And they can pick up the Wi-Fi signal with a mask on, out in the open, get your lesson, go home.
That'll work. That's safer than being inside.
We got plenty of city parks here. You mean to tell me we can't take a city park and open it up and put some Wi-Fi out there and let these kids go to school.
Mm-hmm.
We got to approach it a different way, and
better
crazy.
Than inside. Because if you have them inside, you got to make sure that the air system is filtering and killing the germs. I mean, in
that
every
is correct.
School. Yeah. So
that is correct. You know, I posted my blog today on West Side View, and that's one of the things I discussed. I discussed the COVID situation here in the United States, and I was looking at some of the numbers that was posted, and certain states like Florida
and Texas, their daily numbers are outrageous. And the thing about those daily numbers, now the majority of them are children.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have put them out there like this.
But Brother Tony, I'm gonna try to see if I can bring in my cousin from Colorado, real quick. See if I can chime him in here real quick, cause he just said that his grandkids went to school the first day and caught COVID, and so I might have to click you off to click him back in. Let me see. Well, I'm trying to click his camera, but it's not. Okay. All right. So can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. You can hear me on the radio?
I can hear you on the call-in number because I don't have my screen up, my Facebook screen up.
Oh, so you can hear me on the computer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't think you could hear me on the computer. Okay, well, then we're back to normal then.
Okay. You going to have to figure out what you're doing over there.
Brother Tony, can you hear me?
I mean, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you, Tony.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Pastor.
Oh, okay. So the computer is working now. I thought it wasn't working. Okay, well, it wasn't working earlier.
It wasn't working.
Okay, well, then we're back to normal then. My cousin said from Colorado that he had sent his grandchildren to school on the first day and they caught COVID. I know there was some reports that I was reading that said that there were some teachers in a school district, three or four of them had died of COVID. There was some more reports I read that said that a teacher had took off her mask and gave about 27 kids COVID in a classroom. My old thing is that, you know, I'm not blaming the school district as if they brought COVID, you know, in the classroom. But what I'm saying is we need to understand what is the protocol. We need to understand how many of our children have been sent home, been exposed to COVID, you know, and we need to know how is the classrooms being cleaned? What solutions are they using to clean the classrooms with? I'm hearing that the teachers if they don't want to be vaccinated, then they have to get tested every week. How many teachers have we had here in front of the Unified that has caught COVID? What is the plan A? What is the plan B for the situation right now?
Where is the teachers union on that?
Right. I'm going to find out myself we're going to find out when is the next school board meeting, because these are very important questions that need to be asked and we need answers for. I was told on one hand that if two children has COVID, that they shut the classroom down for 14 days at one school. Mm. But another school out here, you know, they do it for 2 days. I mean, it's
wow.
like, okay, which one is it, right? You know?
Right.
So I'm just really concerned about our babies. My daughter, our grandchildren is in Central Unified, but she homeschools them, you know?
Mm.
And so everybody doesn't have that luxury to homeschool their children. But
right.
at the same time, numbers are going up. People are getting sick. You know, I'm not sure how they're sanitizing the buses or if they're sanitizing the buses at all. How are the rooms being cleaned? Who's wiping down the rooms? Who's wiping down the toys? I'm hearing that the sports, they want all football players. Anyone play sports, they want to vaccinate. So, Brother Tony, we're in a real pickle here, real pickle, because
we're in real pickle.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we have to figure out what's going on now. It's easy for us to sit back and say the school district, but as adults and as parents, grandparents, uncle, cousins, whatever, we got to stand instead for our children. Like I said the other day, in the Tampa area, 8,000 children were sent home because of COVID. That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. They had 14 administrators in one school district pass away from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talk about Fresno, but the easiest way to find out, FresnoUnifiedSchoolDistrict.com. We find out what the meetings is. If they online, get online, find out what's happening, and ask the questions we want to ask when they open up that public segment. We can do it. And we have to do it. Like I said, my sister, her classroom, like I told you, Eileen, they got like 12, 14 in her class. They got the board, the little plastic boards up. The little barriers.
The barriers. Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, their janitors come in and clean with the solution every night. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she teaches special education. So maybe they're putting it different. But,
Yeah, they might be. They might be taking extra precautions because.
Extra precautions.
And that's the other thing, you know, the kids who do have special needs, are they, you know, what's the protocol for them going back to school? Is there a protocol for them to go back?
Right.
It's very unsettling. I know I've got, you know, nieces and nephews who were participating in after school programs, and now their parents are like, you know what, it's enough for you just to be in a classroom. I don't want you to be further exposed. Staying 2 hours, you know, after you get out of class. So it's a lot. And I know people are tired, but, you know, if people are dying, you're going to be even more tired than you were before. And it's important
exactly.
to find out these things. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And,
once you're dead,
and the
it.
Thing is, certain parts of the country, they're doing it different. I have relatives in Texas, and I have nieces and granddaughters going to school in Texas. Well, I can tell you honestly, the majority of them now are going virtual. I talked to my granddaughter who's in the eighth grade, and she told me, she said, Papa, she said, I tried to go back to school. She said, I can't do it. She said, because some of those kids in my class like to play that role. My parents say, I don't have to wear a mask. She said, and they're not going to put me at risk, she said, because I will bop one of them. So the best thing for me to do is to stay virtual. I understand that. You know, even kids are starting to realize that they're being put at risk.
Right.
You know, and they realize this stuff is real.
Yeah, if we all could kind of find out, I'll do some research too about when is this next board meeting, because I like to have this information in writing. It's important that we know district-wide what are the cases, how many children, what are they doing about it, because I don't want to see no child, anybody for that matter, but especially a child who can't even defend themselves, you know, who can't even speak up for themselves. And I think that's why we're here as mentors. We're here as the elders, not blaming no one for anything, but we're just asking a question that we want to answer. But I want to talk about the election real quick. The recall is, I believe, next Tuesday. I had an opportunity to speak to the New York Times, I think it was yesterday or day before yesterday, about a few things that's going on here in California, farming, a recall, and some different things like that. And so I'm feeling led to do a direct action Monday evening, probably around maybe 7 o'clock when it kind of cool off, just for about an hour, to encourage our people that it's important that they go to the ballot, cast their vote, because many of our people have died. But for us to have this opportunity, you know, and we need to utilize this opportunity, because there's a lot at stake right now here in California.
A lot at stake.
And, you know, I know that black folk, I'm just going to put it out there because I know I talk straight. I know people look at us as the minority, but we can always be the swing vote of anything. And we can always have a voice at the table. And so even though people, you know, talking about the immigration and, you know, all this other stuff, which is all right, great, we're still people to be respected in the state. Because we hear, we pay taxes, and we're going to be heard, period.
Yeah.
So regardless if we're the, and when I say minority, and I don't like using that terminology, but I'm using that minority word as they use it for, as saying that, you know, your numbers are low, or as, you know, as a people here in California. But we got a heavy hit. We have a heavy hit, and we have a voice. And so I'm going to organize this direct action for Monday around 7, right before it gets dark. We may go live out there on the street for our blog talk show on Ground Zero. But it's important that we be seen. It's important that black folks be heard. It's important that people know that we're not going to be a silent people in this state or even in this city. And so I'm going to be putting that word out. Hope that you all can share that information once I put it up on Facebook and word of mouth. And we have a lot at stake too as black folks here in Mississippi.
You make a good point. I just want to say, just to kind of riff off of what you've already put out there about this recall, you know, many of us understand that voting rights are being under attack across the country, a lot in the South. But the thing is that out here, this recall is going to be the first domino to fall if we lose somebody like Gavin Newsom. You know, the country looks at California as a leader in this, and so that means that black and brown and Asian people have got to pull together and vote no on this recall. We have the numbers to make a difference, and so we have to let our voices be heard. And when we defend and say no to this recall, we are saying no also to the attack on voting rights across the country and this right wave that they're trying to wash away all of our rights. So I just wanted to put that out there, Rev. So I think a direct action is a good way to get people's attention.
Yeah, you know, anytime we do something here in Fresno, it goes worldwide. So it's not like, you know, we're just these little paper boys that, you know, just our sound just stays in the city. It goes across the world. And that's how we built our network as a national network. You know, share information with other cities, other states, and what have you. And like I said, you know, we're not going to be out there long, but I know a president is going to be set. That, you know, you always say, black is back. You know, I'm black and I'm proud, say it loud. You know, those things, you know, still have an effect on me. You know, I wasn't born until 1970. When I seen Brother Tony, who came to my birthday party, last week. You know, he was dressed up, shirt on like, you know, Black Panther. You know, that meant a lot to me to see that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he could have dressed up as whatever he wants. But the fact of the matter is, he was representing himself. He was representing our people. He was representing the fight. He was representing the struggle. He was representing, you know, what we stand for today. And that was a blueprint from the Black Panther Party from the 1960s. All I can do is just give him thumbs up, you know, to say that. You know, he came in with all black hat tilted to the side. I mean, it was so cool, you know.
Well, you know, the bottom line is, it's in me. It's going to stay in me. You know, we must represent who we are. And
that's right.
Not only am I a black man, but I'm a black man that grew up on the West Side. I went to Carver.
Okay.
I went to Irwin. I went to Edison. I'm black and gold, baby. I'm a tiger till I die.
Right.
And coming from Oakland, California, to Fresno, I know what the struggle is. I know what our people have been through. I know what we're still going through. And as Sister Reed said earlier, the way they attacked abortion in Texas, you better best believe they're getting ready to go after voting rights for black Americans. It's coming.
Mm-hmm. It's already,
and
yeah.
And we must stand tall and stand together and band together and fight this craziness. My vote
yep.
is real important to me.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. People have died for it. Many of us have died for it. So we're not going to just give it up easily.
We are not fading into the background. We are not fading into the background.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes to it, you know, and the bottom line is, I guess we got to do like the Panthers did back in the day. It's time to
yeah.
stand up and fight. Power to all
That's
the people.
Right. That's right.
We must
That's
do
right.
this.
And we're not backing up. And this is the thing. People think, oh, you're being hateful. I don't hate anybody. I love my own people. That's it, period. And I tell anybody who knows me, who knows Brother Tony, who knows me, knows that's what I'm about. Rev and I have known each other for over 20 years now. And Rev, when I've been the same way now than I've always been. So ain't nothing changed. To live. They live.
All day, every day.
All day, every day.
7 days a week, twice on Sundays. This
okay.
is real.
This is it. And we're going to fight. It's going to be a fight. So if that's what it's going to call for, that's what it is. And Rev, you know you out there in the street like no. Hello?
Sister Reed, you still there?
Still here? Are you?
Okay. Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I
don't know if we lost Rev or not.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I can't hear him. Can you hear him?
Yeah, can you hear us there, Rev?
A little bit after 9. I'm wondering if he's closing out the show early.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. So,
yeah. Well, you know, when you deal with the man, you have to deal with the man. But we'll find a way to work around it.
But the man gonna have to understand that some of us are not going anywhere. You know, we're gonna be here like our ancestors were here, and they're gonna have to deal with us, because you know, it is what it is. So we're gonna keep swinging until we can't swing anymore. Same as always. But I'm going to take just a minute to remind folks of the Progressive Black Summit that's happening next month. It's going to be a virtual event, and it's going to start on Friday, October 28th. We're going to have Dr. Caroline Collins, who has a podcast called We Are Not Strangers Here, and she's going to be talking about the African-American experience in rural California, and that is going to be from 6 to 7. Then on Friday, October 29th, we're going to have the film Arc of Justice. That's going to run from 6 to 7. Both these things are going to be moderated. And I'm happy to announce that on Saturday, October 30th, our keynote speaker, Jemai Hargan, Reverend Harris's cousin, who is the founder of Crop Swap Los Angeles, is going to be our keynote speaker. He's going to close us out. So I do believe that Reverend Harris and Brother Tony are going to be moderators for this event. And I want to give a shout-out to Dr. Deborah Saxon at Fresno State for helping us coordinate this event. So we're looking forward to a really, really good Progressive Black Summit. Fresno Freedom School is a sponsor, and we always want to keep it relevant. Our theme this year is food is freedom, and that's very crucial during this time of food insecurity for so many people. And please share this information. Tell a friend. We're going to have our flyers up soon. And we hope that people can attend, ask questions if they want, because we have a really good lineup this year. So I just wanted to put that plug out there.
Exactly. I'm glad you're putting it out early, Eileen, so that people will be aware of what's getting ready to go on.
Yes. Yes, I'm hoping that we can get this in Community Alliance by the 15th so they can put it out as a PSA. And we're hoping that we get a good turnout. We're doing this virtually. COVID kind of caught us off guard last year, and we did not hold an in-person event, and we didn't do anything virtually. But this is so important that we did not want to lose the summit, and so we're doing it. You know, we've had a lot of help and support from board members like Brother Tony and Doc Saxon and Reverend Harris and myself, and so appreciate you, Brother Tony, for your input and you know, your skills, and that's, I can't thank you enough. You know, this is for our community.
Oh, always. You know, when it comes to our community and getting the word out there, I'm going to always be there. I'm going to always have your back.
I know that.
We must make people aware. We must get the information out. And, you know, the thing about the Black Summit is come one, come all, whether it's 1, 2, or 3, 4, 5, 12. Come out.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what's going on. It is time us to rebuild and make our community strong once again. It's time to stop being left behind.
That's right. That's right. And I wanted to send you the flyer. I guess I could send you the draft, but it really can't be posted because it's needs to be tweaked a little bit. The wording needs to be tweaked a little bit so far as because this is called Progressive Black Summit, not Black Progressive Summit. Anyway, I might just send you the flyer so that you can have it for your own. But anyway, it's going to be a stellar event.
You can email me or you can messenger me, and we'll take a look at it.
I will do that. So I'm not sure, you know, where Rev is at on this, but I'm probably going to be signing off. I don't know if you want to stay on or if
Rev
he plans.
We have 5 minutes.
Oh, well, in that case, then we're right,
well
then right on time. Then
we right on. We're right on our usual time.
Well, that worked out.
We keep doing what we do.
We keep doing what we do. Well, since we have a few minutes, left. Tell us about what you talked about on your podcast. Was it all about COVID?
Well, I have two podcasts that I do. They can be found, and I always post a copy on my Twitter page, on Facebook, and I can be found on Spotify under Westside Vision and Westside View.
Right.
So, you know, one I use, one is put out by Sprecher, and one is put out by Anchor. So you can find one under Westside View. You can find one under Westside Vision.
Okay, folks, you heard it from the man himself.
But what I try to do is cover the issues that do affect us. The one I did today just happens to be on COVID. The one I did the other day was about abortion, COVID, voting rights, the things that are affecting our country nationwide, and that's what I do. I just don't focus on one area. I focus on nationwide issues because as a Black America, what affects me here in California is affecting my brothers down there in Mississippi, Georgia, New York, Florida, Washington.
Wow.
You know, being Black in this country, you have a automatic target on your back, and it doesn't matter where you live. We all almost face the same issues. If you've noticed, when you travel through the state, I don't care if you go to Oakland, L.A., San Diego, Orange County, when we all get together as Black folks, we can relate because we go through the same drama.
We go through the same drama. That's right.
You know, so.
You hit the nail on your head. Yeah.
But in my blogs, I try to put a slant on it. You know, I'm looking at actually doing a couple of them live and, you know, giving people the opportunity to chime in and, you know, go from there. But, you know, for right now, what I do is I usually record them. I put the information out there. You can listen at your own comfort, at your own time. Like I say, I always drop a copy on Facebook.
Okay.
So for those of you on Facebook, all you got to do is go to my page and you can pull it up. So that's not a problem.
Sounds good. So what you going to say in closing? Because you got what you say and I got what I say. So what you going to say in closing?
Well, you know what I always say in closing. You know, everybody reach one, teach one. We're going to look out for one another. We're going to protect one another. You know, stand, deliver, and I'll holler.
All right. Well, folks, I'm going to close out by saying stay Black till we get back, and I hope everybody stays safe. All right. Ashe.
All right, y'all.
Good night.
How to all people.